matter what you know about it.
It's the stew, baby.
Got the mise en place.
Young stew, baby.
And the room a lot.
She's got a strong emoji game, but no social means. My dad either. She loves the bird. The little bird that, like...
Yeah, I think that's a universal mom.
That's a mom jam, right?
Into the mic, please. Hello, hello. You're listening to The Stew. My name is Jason Stewart. This is my food podcast.
There it is.
Andre Conaparo, say hello.
Hello.
We have our friend...
Best friend.
We have both of our best friends here. Who
number one stunner.
He's never been on the show. We've never talked to him about him. No, we've talked about him on the show.
Oh, we've talked about him a bunch. We definitely dropped his Michelada recipe, which is my favorite of all time.
We all remember when that hit the streets.
Yes.
Hit the pod streets.
That's right.
Sending ripples through iTunes.
Los Angeles was on fire after that podcast,
really,
right?
Because there's just hot sauce in it.
He just pours Tapatio in Coors Banquet.
Yeah. It's just it's Coors Lime or Budweiser Lime and a little bit of hot sauce.
Prison rules.
Yeah. He soaks the bread that he turns into the alcohol.
Start with a strawberry base.
Well, yes. Bob, say hello.
Hello.
Bobby Z.
Bobby Z. Bob Zamudio is in the building.
Hi.
Bob Zamudio.
Who, when we have talked about on this podcast, mentioning you and I living together for years and cooking and barbecues, this was an anchor at all of those.
For years.
Bobby Z.
Those are good food.
Yeah,
times.
You were there.
Yeah. So lots of cooking with Bob. Learn lots of food stuff from
Yeah,
Bob.
List your top 10 best times we cooked food.
I think definitely the one where Andre broke the Rock Band drum set. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Whoa. I vaguely remember this.
I vaguely
remember. Okay, paint the picture. It's 2008. Rock Band...
It's still cool.
The video game
Rock Band. Topping the charts.
The only reason, like, if you're a younger person listening to this podcast, Rock Band is that video game where when you see a plastic drum set on the curb, that's the video game that it comes from.
When you're at a Goodwill. Yeah. And you see in the video game electronics section
with a weird plug that doesn't go to anything.
No, like literally a week ago, I was riding my bike home from the gym, and it was right in a quaint, nice Atwater neighborhood, like nice houses everywhere. Just like boom, Rock Band drum kit right there on the curb, like 1 week ago, and it happens pretty regularly. And usually the Rock Band drum kit will have like. Apple juice stains on it. And
no kick pedal.
The kick pedal's blown out. There's like wax stickers on it.
Yeah, I was going to say like a Godsmack sticker like on the base of the drum kit.
Godsmack sticker?
Yeah, of course. What else?
Okay, so
everybody listening, Godsmack was a band that...
all right, so we're having a dinner party.
Yeah.
As we do.
Yeah. I think there was formal attire.
We're playing the video game Rock Band. And then what happened, Bob?
I think we drank an entire bottle of Blantons.
Yeah.
Blantons.
Yeah. That's right.
Wait, what is that, gin?
No, bourbon.
Oh, Blantons. Yeah. Oh, wait,
with
that's
the horse.
That's the round spherical bottle with the little golden polo player on the top.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great burb.
Yeah, very
really
good.
So we drank a bottle of Blantys. And then what happened?
And then a mosh pit ensued. And Andre just kicked over the drum set.
I don't remember it at all like that.
And the rest is history.
I remember that I was serving a tray of salmon mousse and it tripped and fallen onto the drum kit while all of my finely dressed and sober guests at the party were enjoying some appetizers.
And the drum kit just got crushed.
Appetizers?
Yeah, some appetizers.
That's like what you have before an aperitif?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just one drop.
That's the one.
It's like a little droplet, and they just put it on a spoon?
Yeah.
It's a TGI Fridays thing, which is a fine dining restaurant all over the Los Angeles greater area.
It's just to get your palate starter started.
Apparently you don't know about firecracker Southwest spring rolls, dog. So, okay, boom.
Firecracker Southwest spring rolls.
With a guacamolito side.
Hello.
donkey sauce on the side.
Donkey sauce on the side, for sure.
Yeah, so even back then when we were just horrible people getting wasted. Sorry, Mom.
Yeah, we were still all our moms.
We were still having great dinner parties.
We were serving great food, I have to say. Although it may have been ruckus.
Even though we may have drank a whole bottle of bourbon and moshed a video game into disintegration, like before that, I was definitely like making ricotta from scratch and like rolling out
butterfly chicken on the grill with a brick on top of it.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
A lot of brick chickens.
Definitely some of Bob's pizza, some of the habanero pizzas.
Yeah, the green chili.
Green chili habanero pizza. You should drop that recipe. That thing is amazing.
I think that was like originally came from my sister's boyfriend who like fucked up a Food Network recipe. Like he put the wrong thing on and it ended up being.
They called for tomatoes and he just put habaneros on it.
Yeah, it was like something like that.
Mm-hmm. Where I meant to do that, dog. The streets.
It was like
the streets be talking.
Something like that where he fucked it up and ended up being better than the actual recipe.
Mm.
I made that a long time.
They say, never mind, they don't say that. I was trying to make a joke, but then it didn't work in my head.
It was probably pretty good, though.
Yeah, that's maybe
it called for sun-dried tomatoes, and you accidentally put on chipotle peppers.
Mm. Oh, it's not habanero, chipotle,
which ended up being like totally key.
Chipotle,
yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah,
chipotle.
And you get the whole in adobo in the can, and then you take the seeds out and clean them.
Yeah, and just
wash them because there's so much flavor already.
Mm-hmm. You got to wash all the E. coli off. Put all those chipotles.
Scrub all the Mexican E. coli off and sprinkle it on.
That is a epic mistake
though,
in a recipe to That's swap out sun dries for
chipotle.
For chipotle peppers.
Whoops.
I mean, is not the can of chipotle peppers the Mexican sun-dried tomato though?
and so, like the whitest dude on the planet named Scott. He's like,
Scott, we got you on blast, huh?
No, Scott was like, all right, I need to impress this Latino family Christmas.
Yeah.
My name is Scott and I'm so white. How can I make this pizza more bold?
I'm already making pizza.
It's just chopped tamales on top of a pizza. Yeah,
yeah. You're like, oh, we're going to make a house-made pizza, Scott? You better make it bold.
It's got french fries and tacos on top.
Is Scott still around?
Scott is not still around.
R.I.P. Scott.
Yeah,
R.I.P. Thank
Scott.
You for your pizza mistake,
When did he pass? If you don't mind.
Right after he served the pizza, I think. They just took him outside.
The day he started dating my sister.
Yeah, that's something that Andre and I, who don't have sisters, will never know about.
We do not.
All the girls that my brother has dated, no prob. Don't even think about it.
Nope.
I mean, I think about them at night.
Okay. All right.
But I mean, like, no, like, negative thoughts. But when you have a sister...
Yeah, you just look at that dude coming over to the house to say what's up and watch football, and you're like, no.
No.
You don't sit there. Family sits there.
Just imagine.
You sit on the floor. Yeah, my dog sits there. You sit on the floor.
Yeah, and then you're bummed, and then, like, you look at your dad, and then you can't even imagine what it's like being the dad.
Yeah.
This is a food podcast.
This is my food podcast. We're talking about watching your sisters sleep with people.
The family social setting, isn't it crazy?
Yeah. But that pizza recipe, it's super easy. You just take like Pillsbury crust or whatever.
Like how all pizza recipes start.
Yeah, you just roll it out and
you get some Pillsbury.
It is a shockingly good like quick dough.
It's
like
so
much better than like store-bought pizza dough that I've gotten
before. It's like the great, and then you just put sour cream on the base.
So this is Pillsbury.
Just the roll-out pizza crust. Yeah.
Okay.
And then sour cream on the base, and then diced green Ortega chilies out of the can. It's fine. And then throw those on there. And then the chipotle, however much you want in terms of spice level. And then,
however bold you can handle.
Yeah. And then Mott's, you put it in the oven. And then when it comes out, you throw a fresh diced cilantro on it, and that's it.
It is like one of my favorite appetizers.
It's such
ever.
A like,
or just
great,
dinner, but
especially for
so
like
good.
Football and stuff. It's a great.
Yeah, it's one of those things where whenever I eat it, I'm like, it's so spicy. And then I just, but then I'm like, well, I'm still eating it.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep eating it. And it's spicy. And it hurts, but I can't stop, which is good.
No, it's like, it's one of those things where it's got such a great dynamic flavor, especially with the cilantro and the chipotle peppers. But you go, you know, it was like barbecues or sports, whatever, what we were doing that weekend. But you'd come over and people would be like, oh, look, pizza. And they'd have it and be like, what is this pizza? this is amazing. Because you're just expecting, like, without really looking at it, you're like, probably some cheddar cheese and pepperoni, whatever.
Yeah.
It's such a, like, strong, clean.
This pizza is not amore.
No. And I don't know. It was like, I had it, and I didn't know any of the ingredients the first time, and I was like, I can't believe how good this is. And then you told me it's Pillsbury pizza dough, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
And it really cooks so well. It really holds sauce really well. It crisps really well on the bottom. Like, granted, not the healthiest thing in the world, but
no,
hey, it's a football game.
Yeah, totally.
And it cooks so well.
Yeah. I've made it with, like, fresh dough, and it's, like, it's good, but it's not.
No.
Pero, not the
same.
Like,
shitty, not the same. You need, like, that shitty Pillsbury.
Yeah. It's like when you eat a taco, you want it from a dirty taco truck with, like, a regular ass tortilla and not all fancified.
Yeah, that's exactly that.
I love that pizza. I'm making that soon.
Are you guys going to make it for UFC, which is happening today?
Oh shit.
Probably should.
Rugby.
Yeah, what's a good UFC meal to make?
Oh, this is a great question. Mm. You think about it for a second.
Fennel salad.
Yeah, I'm thinking just some microgreens, maybe a green goddess dressing, something like that.
Yeah, today is Saturday. We're recording the day before, but lot of my friends are like all jazzed on UFC, which I don't really care about.
Very big fans, Dano and Jimmy.
So I'm gonna need to get some edible flowers, at least.
That's right.
I'm thinking 7-layer dip.
These are people, like, what's crazy to me, though, is, you know, our friends that are into UFC really, like, they go to tournaments. They go to, like, the Pan Ams and stuff. And, like, they compete, like, you know, amateur and certain, their weight and all that stuff. I mean, they're not super competitive, but it's like, they're not just watching this eating chips. Like,
no, they're invested.
It's crazy.
They really care.
It is, I mean, like, that's the one thing that always blows. Why are we talking about UFC in a food podcast? But anyways, like, UFC is the one thing where it seems like if you like football, you just can't go out and play football.
Right.
You know, I mean, I guess you can play baseball, you can play basketball, but it's like UFC is one of those things where people are really into it also really do it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's like, yeah, it's...
Yeah, with football, you know, you're like, I just need to get 20 of my friends and a helmet and pads and cleats and tights and stuff like that. But with UFC, all you need is to buy an octagon and you're good.
I mean, wings are just a standard sport food that cannot be beat ever.
Wings are so fucking, yeah.
Wings at UFC, maybe.
We're gonna have a Korean UFC, so it's gonna be Kyo-chan.
Yeah, we can do Kyo-chan.
Korean fried chick.
Do that.
Korean fried chick. Well, those other wings too are Korean inspired.
Oh yeah, the
with the rice wine vinegar and all that.
Yeah, the ginger sambal.
Yeah.
Food Wishes wings that are epic.
Yeah.
Bob, you work in like movie production, TV production, and so do you, Andre.
Yeah.
Let's talk about craft services.
Oh.
Yeah, this is one of the this is one of the topics that we brought Bob on for his expertise.
Set food. Man. It could be.
I think craft services have improved in the last few years compared to how they used to be, perhaps, which was just really bleak and like only like bad for you food.
Yeah.
And now it's like a lot of kind bars and and like green tea matcha almond milk smoothies and things like
there
that are popping
up. The best is the hot, like when they get really into it and they just have like a constant rotating hot snack. That is the best.
Yeah.
The show I'm on now.
Constant rotating hot snack?
Yeah, like they just make like a big, they'll have like slow cookers there and something like that. And there's just constantly like something coming out that's like, oh, hey, I made nachos. And you're like, fuck yeah.
Yes.
What show are you working on now?
It's called Bajillion Dollar Properties. Legitimately.
Well, you were working on the Kroll show for years.
Yeah, I did all three seasons of that. and the craft service guy there, Mark, was awesome.
Shout out Mark.
Thank you for
taking care of your peeps.
He made fresh salsa every single, like three different fresh salsas every day.
Yes.
And they were so good.
Move over, Scott.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Damn, three fresh salsas every day?
Yeah, and always made hot snacks and like, he was good, man.
So so I'm learning that when you're on set and morale is low, simply having the food be hot is really huge.
Especially like, and if it's a late night and it's like at the 2 o'clock hour, and you come around with like a plate of hot something, that'll stoke everybody out.
Plate of hot anything.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy. For people that don't work
And we're going to talk about bajillion-dollar properties after this.
But it's crazy. Like, the morale level when food is bad or craft service is bad or catering is cheap, it's like... Nobody wants to be there. Nobody wants to. And when it's really good, or there's special things, or the In-N-Out truck shows up as a thank you to the crew once in a while, or something like those little things. Like, everyone's just like, all right, it's not so bad. We can do this because it's long hours for people that don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the standard workday in production is 12 hours.
Yeah,
that's standard, and it goes over a lot.
Yeah,
you know, it can go into 13, 14 hours. So that's, you know, that's a lot of time.
The food is huge. Yeah, when you're like 6 hours of the day and you got another 6 hours to go, if your meal sucks at six and it's...
Yeah.
It's not unlike being on an airplane. Like, the difference between getting like, here is like a hot steaming meal. It's just like, well, this is not a pop chip. This is like, I would, if somebody was like, here's like the shitty microwave lasagna on the airplane, I'll give it to you for $100. You're like, deal.
All right. I've thought about like, what if you pulled the scam of bringing on like 30 In-N-Out burgers and just standing up in the aisle and being like, $10 a pop. Anybody want In-N-Out? Just clearing it out. Would that work? Is that illegal? Would TSA tackle you as you got off the plane?
Yeah. Would they enforce air law?
Would you trust a man selling a secondhand In-N-Out burger on a plane to not be poisoned?
It's gonna be like when you're on the subway in New York and they start to like talk about how they're gonna do a dance routine and then everyone has to look away.
Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt your day. I just wanted to.
Yeah, I feel like you are definitely not allowed to sell food on an airplane.
Secondhand
says you.
But says I mean, you would have to do it on the low.
Yeah. You'd have to be like a pass it on. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I would. This is how I would do it. I normally fly Virgin America.
Yep.
Because the song that they play on the video screen is the best song ever made.
Prep song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It teaches you that the you know where the flotation devices are, and you could blow into it if it doesn't inflate, etc.
And if you're old, you probably don't understand any of it. I'm
old school. I like the old animated one.
Oh, the old animated one is way better.
Okay, good.
Way better. I mean, no, the new Virgin America one is like a full literal nightmare.
Yeah, it is.
But if you're able to embrace it as horrible and funny, then you're me.
Can't fight City Hall, man.
But on Virgin America flights, you can chat with other people on the airplane.
Of course you can.
And they have a general public chat room area, and that's where you do your dealing.
Oh my God, it's brilliant.
So you're like,
or your drugs, your literal drug dealing.
It's the dark web of airlines. Onboard airline
chat. Yeah, it's the Silk Road of the skies. But they have it all broken down to where you're like, all right, 9F wants animal style double-double.
Yeah.
And then
dig through your satchel.
And then as soon as the seatbelt light goes off, you play like you're going to the bathroom, you do the handoff. Boom, boom. Yeah. You get the 20 in the palm of your hand. We could do this all weekend, baby.
Oh, that's so good.
Well, I think, and then also when you leave, if you're a pro, you tip out the stewardesses on the way out.
Yeah.
You know, they get a cut.
You can make money on this.
How many? I mean, because you obviously can't bring drugs onto an airplane.
Nah, says you.
You can bring alcohol in the tiny airplane bottles, which is bizarre.
Many as you can carry, too, which is crazy.
Yeah, which I don't understand. But also the food thing, there's no limit to how much food you can bring.
Yeah.
So, like, there's no reason why you can't just be like, I have 50 double-doubles.
Yeah.
And I'm about to flip these burgers.
It's just
all the way to Phoenix, motherfucker.
It's just an In-N-Out shirt that says, I sell this. And just walk down the aisles eating one, winking at everybody as you walk by, pointing to your shirt.
But also, even if you're just like going to New York and you just have them in like a Yeti cooler staying warm, you got 50 doubles. You got
Yeti cooler.
You got
Yeti
50 double-doubles in the duffel bag. In the duffels.
Duffel-doubles.
Animal style in the duffel bag. And you don't sell any of them on the airplane. As soon as you land in New York, you're at the baggage claim with a bunch of people from New York who don't have In-N-Out, and then you flip those burgers there.
Yeah. And you know what? Look, a five-hour In-N-Out, you know, fairly contained, it's still going to taste really good.
People ship them frozen. Like, people freeze them and send them.
Really?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, speaking of shipping frozen, I was just in Miami, and I ate... It was for Art Basel. There was horrible weather. It was raining the whole time. It was a bummer. But I did get to go to Joe's Stone Crab, which is one of the greatest restaurants in America. But they,
Kathy Cohn, Maggie's mom, who's listening right now, is a big fan. They like Miami. They like Joe's Stone Crab. Kathy. I've always wanted to go. Kathy, thank you for listening. Shout outs.
Yes, Kathy.
Merry Christmas. Yes. We'll miss you.
My friend of mine who lives in Miami shipped me a key lime pie from Joe's Stone Crab.
That's right.
In the dry ice box.
Yeah.
Wow. It was so sick.
Baller.
That's awesome.
Still
That's
got it.
I've carried lobsters, live lobsters, back from Maine.
Really?
Yeah.
Try to sell those.
Just in your hand?
Yeah. just in the bag.
Pinch the shit out of me the whole flight.
You start with a Yeti cooler. You add some seaweed on the bottom.
Like Yeti.com?
No, like that's a big business too, is that when you're leaving Maine, any of the seafood shacks will pack live
lobsters. It's like getting
That's
the sourdough from SFO on the way out.
Yeah,
right.
You have to. I mean,
it's like getting $85 bag of macadamia nuts in Hawaii on the way out.
Yes, you have to cook them. You know, like within a day or two, or you know, as long as they're still alive. You can't cook a dead lobster, but it is something interesting to like open your crisper drawer and see like four guys being like, hey, can we get out of here? What are you going to do with us? And they're kind of moving and you're like, sorry, you're going to get it soon. But
do you bring the lobsters on or do you have to check them?
You can carry them on.
So you carry them on just like in a bag.
It's in like a little tiny styrofoam cooler. Not as nice as Yeti coolers, should I mention.
Sure. That's three.
That's three. That's a hat trick.
But I went to Joe's Stone Crab, and it's so tight.
And it's not as expensive as you would imagine a legendary seafood restaurant
being. It's not that expensive.
Right?
No.
And it's not cheap, but I mean, I've asked Maggie's parents about this, and they're like, well, I can ask you right now. But I was surprised because it's such a special crab. It's only there in Miami, right?
I think so,
The stone crabs.
Oh, wow.
And it's just like such a famous legendary food. And they're like, it's not that expensive.
It's not. And even the other food is not that expensive. It's kind of like, but it, like all the waiters are wearing like nice suits and it's white tablecloth and full service. And like,
is it on the water?
It's not on the water, okay. But it's like a block away. But it was like $39 for my, they have a bunch of combos. I got a combo with, it was like three big stone crab claws, two oysters on the half shell, two chilled shrimps, and half a lobster tail.
What?
That is
for
$39.
And it's all just served on like this glorious ice sculpture palace thing. And then you get like, and then another weird thing, it's served with like a side of coleslaw. And the coleslaw is deconstructed that you mix together yourself.
Oh, okay.
So you get like a little cup full of shredded cabbage and chopped pickles and then just like a little squirt of mayonnaise on top. And then whenever you're ready to make the fresh coleslaw, you just whip it all up in the bowl.
Whoa.
It's interesting.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, and like it was actually pretty affordable. I got like a half bottle of Pinot Grigio for $15. That's really cheap.
So reasonable for such a legendary restaurant.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, you have to wait for an hour and a half to get a table.
Is it in Miami?
It's right on South Beach at the very bottom. And everyone that goes there has been going there for 50 years. The maitre d' knows every single person, kissing every old lady on
the
cheek.
It's like the Musso's of Miami.
It's the same vibe as that.
Yeah.
Huh.
I want to go so bad.
That sounds
it's
awesome.
It's great.
How would you describe? I've never had stone crab.
And
it's claw only, right? You don't eat.
Yeah,
the bodies are really small and they don't have any meat, right?
It's claw only. It's just like a very. The meat is like a little less on the white side and a little more transparent. And it's just very wet and moist and succulent. It's
really
very
good.
Yeah, it's really good. It's not dry at all. It's like very, very juicy. And then they have like a little Dijonese, house Dijonese dipping sauce that you pop it in.
Not drawn butter.
They have drawn butter and the Dijonnaise and like a little mignonette sauce.
I was going to ask if the oysters came with mignonette.
Mm-hmm. Mignonette. But that's kind of like, if you're going to go to Miami, that's almost more important than getting Cuban food.
Right. It would be to me. Yeah.
And it's only open during 6 months of the year when the stone crab season is popping. Which makes me wonder what those waiters and staff and kitchen people are doing for the other 6 months of the year.
So, okay, so we haven't talked about anything at Art Basel or you going to Miami. So lots of parties all day long, right? Free parties?
Well, lots of free parties all day long where it was pouring rain and nobody was there.
What was the food like at these parties? Varied.
Well, it's just like shitty trepas food.
Like everyone has a Cubano sandwich.
There's a lot of like very bad empanada nibblers and things like that. but I went to Versailles, like the famous Cuban restaurant. It's like the Cuban Cantors, if you've never been there. And they have the best empanadas of all time.
Wow.
They're so good. And they have, when you get the empanada sampler, they come out and they're like crispy fried like a McDonald's apple pie on the outside, like real buttery, flaky, crunchy, deep fried. Mm-hmm. And on the inside they have like wild regular flavors and like American ones, you like the regular like pork and beef, but they also have like ham and cheese, which just like shredded ham, lunch meat and cheese, and you just dip it in some wild aioli. It's
really?
So good.
Mm. So when you went to Versailles, did you have a Cubano?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Had a Cubano. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a giant Cubano fan.
I am not either. Makes me feel like I haven't had the right one. I've had ones that were good, but nothing. I've never had a Cubano that was like, oh, I would pick this over my favorite like Italian sandwich.
There's definitely a difference between, it's not unlike a po' boy where the majority of them, the ones you eat are probably not going to be that good.
Yeah.
They're going to be like a little dried out and kind of uneventful. But when you get a really good one, I've had a very excellent Cubano, and it can be like pretty life-changing.
And it's mustard, ham, pickles,
Swiss cheese.
Right, and then obviously, like all good sandwiches, it's a really the bread is super important.
Huge,
it's like a banh mi; like you have to have the right Cubano bread, and it has to be pressed,
real airy. Right. Mm-hmm. It's the bread where it seems
butter
like
on the
it's,
bottom and top and pressed, right? Isn't that like the big thing?
Yes,
yeah.
And the bread feels almost like artificial,
yeah,
but in a good way, kind of thing. It's like the exact opposite of rustic, but it is very tight. But
does it have pork and ham? Right.
There's a bunch of different variations.
Roast pork and ham.
You can get. They have like 20 different ones. I had one. I asked the waitress like, "What's your favorite one?" And she pointed at one that was like a chorizo pepperoni pizza one.
What?
That was wild.
All right.
It had like chorizo pepperoni and cheese and meat and ham and all this stuff going on.
Two jalapeno poppers, mozzarella sticks.
Traditionally served at the Theta Ranch. But the low-key best thing in Miami is Nicaraguan food.
Mm.
There's this place called Yambo's, which looks like From Dusk Till Dawn. Like it's open till like 6 in the morning, and it's like next to like a muffler repair shop, like nowhere near anything.
Cheech Marin's on the sidewalk trying to get people to come inside. All right.
Yeah, my friend Adrian lives there, and he was like, I got to take you to Yambo's. And I was like, what kind of strip club is it?
Yeah.
Like, is it full nude, or is it just... And they're like, you just go there, and you can just buy beer whenever you want, just 4 in the morning, 6 in the morning, just ordering beers. You sit outside.
It's like Scarface.
It is. There's piles of chips everywhere. But they just like give you your meal in a styrofoam rectangular or the square styrofoam box, and it weighs like 7 pounds, and it's just a bunch of like carne asada style grilled meats and porks and chorizos, like the little mini chorizo balls. And then the black beans and rice that are all cooked together, just a mountain of beans and rice that are like so excellent. And then a weird like Mexican halloumi cheese kind of thing, where it's like a half inch thick, like 4x4 square of this cheese that they just cook on the grill. And then they'd set it right on top of the beans and rice, and it's real, like, waxy, kind of like palera cheese. Is that what it's called?
It could be. I don't know.
Come on, man. This is the only thing we have you on the podcast for.
Okay.
Oh, no, Mr. Jensen.
No.
But, yeah, that is so... It's, like, the best 4 a.m. I would say 2 a.m., but in Miami, it's the best 8:30 a.m. food you could ever eat.
So, right now, you submitted that Taco Zone is not the greatest 3 a.m. meal in the world.
Well, that is correct. My favorite all-time worldwide meal to eat when you're after a night of drinking
is Korean food.
Is Yambo's.
No! But I desperately want to try Yambo's because it sounds amazing.
I think the Korean food, I like to eat the Korean food while I'm getting drunk, not after.
Yeah,
no,
it's true. It's a good drink partner.
It's true.
Korean food is a good hangover food the next day.
Yeah, that was my vote when we had our hangover.
It's also a good thing to leave on your coffee table before you go to New York for a week. Like,
oh, did that happen?
Yeah, it was very fuzzy.
What did you leave on the coffee table?
Bulgogi.
Oh.
It's pretty good.
Just like loose flaps of meat on your coffee table?
No, it was in a styrofoam thing, and it was like I ate it late before I left and while I was packing. And then when I got up, just grabbed my bag and left the room. Oh. And then on the plane, I was like, ah! like Home Alone. just totally fucking. I was like, oh, that's going to be a disaster. Mm. It wasn't as bad as I thought, but it was definitely very.
That's happened to me so many times where luckily it's been like while I've lived alone. But like I'll leave town for a week and come home and I'll be like, this is an interesting mold that has formed on my like coffee cup. Like I'll leave the half cup of coffee as I'm heading out to the airport, and there's like a bizarre spore of mold growing on it, and just the air in the house is stagnant because you close all the windows so nobody will break into it. And you know, it's all kind of stuff that you can't have when you live with your significant other.
I remember, food spoiling is dirty business. I remember in college, my friend John Woodard, who I worked with at a movie theater, he lived with me. He came to live with me for like 6 months. And so he moves all his stuff in, and I didn't really realize that he had put some stuff in the fridge. And for like a month, slowly, my apartment continued to smell worse and worse and worse. And it was like, could not figure it out. We cleaned the house top to bottom, like all this stuff. And finally, like we cleaned the fridge out, but we missed like this small, and it was even in Tupperware, but it was like some kind of chicken thing that had become the most, it was literally like this, at a certain point, I was going to set fire to the building and move to another state because it smelled like I had a dead body in the place.
I like that it was some kind of
so
chicken
brutal.
Thing.
Some kind of chicken
like
thing.
It, like girls couldn't come over. Like it was like, we got to figure this shit out. I was about to call my landlord and we finally discovered this thing. And he was like, oh yeah, I forgot to put that there. We've been living with it for so long.
Me and Tower were going to San Francisco once and we were like, oh, we should clean the fridge out so that Jacob doesn't have to do it when he gets home. So we pulled all the veggies and stuff out that we weren't going to use before we went to San Francisco and then left them on the table and drove to San Francisco. And then I don't think he got back for like a couple of days or something, but then he gets back and we just get this text that just says, whoever left all the vegetables out on the dining room table is a real piece of work. Like, that's when you know someone's really mad when they just...
Yeah, they came and swear.
They just say real piece of work.
Yeah. Nice guys.
Yeah, class act.
Yeah.
Class act.
Speaking of the Korean drunk hangover food, I had some leftovers of Korean food from yesterday. Mm. I was not hungover, but...
From where?
From BCD Tofu House.
Okay.
Soon tofu soup and some bibimbap leftovers.
All right.
And I did a move that I want to share with you. The Korean Soon tofu soup. It's like a spicy chili broth
or gochujang something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can get it like mild or hot or medium, whatever you want. And I had like a kind of a medium spicy, medium to hot one, and then like a bunch of soft tofu in there. And I got it home, and I wasn't in the mood for the spicy, so I stirred in a little Greek yogurt in there.
Whoa.
Which seems a little sacrilegious with Korean food, but it ended up making it a nice, tangy, cooled out flavor that I highly recommend.
I bet that's really good.
I've been putting yogurt on everything.
His dog right now has yogurt on top. Pickles has yogurt on top of it right now.
Yeah, and when I was in Miami, I had lunch at Soho House on the beach, and they have a Greek themed Mediterranean like beachside cabana restaurant there, and everything on the menu is like $4.48 because it's just, you know, it's Soho House in Miami.
Did you get hooked up?
Did not get up.
Did not buy anything either.
Sam definitely got the whole fish, which is always gonna sting you in the wallet.
Are you gonna do? I'm just gonna get a salad then. Yeah. And we'll just split that.
All girlfriends in the world always want the whole branzino.
Cooked in salt. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was delicious. It was just like the whole fish, the head and the tail cut off and skinned, and then just like char grilled with a bunch of lemon and like the lemon wedges that are on the grill too. So it's all that action, and then like Greek olive oil and sea salt on top. It was super good.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, I'm going to get something a little more bang for my buck. And for $6, cheapest thing on the menu was their baked potato. And it's just like a giant ass baked potato. And they do it in this new sick way where instead of just slicing it in half and putting like whatever sour cream and chives and butter on there, they slice it twice. They make like a cross, so it's like a four section thingy, and then Greek yogurt, Greek olive oil drizzled on top.
Yes, well, and that's a good $6.
It was great. Yeah. So, but you can make that delicious potato at home for like 4 cents, but like $6 at Soho House is like 83 cents at a regular restaurant.
Yes, absolutely.
To get like a very delicious, sort of, you know, fairly healthy thing if you are okay with eating Greek yogurt.
I remember one of my early days with Maggie. We went to Musso's actually for like breakfast or lunch.
Maggie's your girlfriend.
Maggie's my girlfriend. And she wanted steak, and I was like, hey, let's go to Musso's. You know, she had never been. And again, I've said this before that Musso's is not my favorite steak in LA. But it's a good day place. It's got some of the best, like, it's got one of the best vibes of any restaurant in LA. It's so historical. It's great. And you can sit at the counter. So menu comes out. She's like, yeah, I kind of want a steak. And I was like, yeah, all right. When Manny comes over. Manny was working. And
this is like Dave Chappelle on, what's the movie, the stoner Dave Chappelle movie where he takes the girl on the date when he has like $7?
Yeah, exactly.
And there's like the mental cash register going on.
Thank God I had a credit card on me, but she was like, she looks again, she's like, what's the porterhouse? And I was like,
gotta go.
Damn it.
A little sweat starts coming from the brow.
What's the porterhouse?
And then Manny's like, excellent.
Excellent. Yes. Of course. Like, she knows what she likes.
Can I recommend a wine?
Yeah, and then he does a little magic trick and makes a fucking nickel disappoint her here. And I'm like, I guess we're getting the porterhouse then. Okay, thanks, Manny.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite steak?
What does that porterhouse run? Approximately,
it's like $70.
That's gotta be
something like that.
And then it's like not a great porterhouse as well.
I mean, look, the steaks there are really good. I'm not knocking the steaks there. I think there's steaks as good or better for a lot less.
You're doing the mental Rolodex of all the $70 steaks that you could be eating instead of this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's good meat. It's good. They're good steaks. But I was just, and then she ate like, you know, a fifth of it. I was like, that's a big steak. I was like, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a big steak. Yeah. But no, it was actually a lot of fun, too. And that was a good memory. But
what's the porterhouse? Does that come with a lobster tail, or do I order that extra? It's breakfast.
Surf and turf
is 10 in the morning. What are you doing? Get a flannel cake.
I reached out for some Twitter questions.
Yes.
I had some friends holler at me.
We need to get back, although let's do this, but we need to get back to a little bit of catering talk because there's some.
Oh, well,
some
let's do the catering talk now. Well, let's talk about Bajillionaire Homes.
What is?
I assume this is a satirical spoof on like TV shows that show millionaire homes.
It's produced. It's about a real high-end real estate office, and it's produced by Scott Aukerman and the Reno 911, like Tom Lennon and Ben Grant directed like the first couple episodes, I think. Mm. It's really funny.
True podcast heads know these people.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just about them selling these insanely expensive phones. What's cool is that we get to shoot in all these really crazy expensive homes.
Mm.
Like, they were just at the Frank Lloyd Wright Black Dahlia house.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Things like that, which is
pretty cool. That's a good idea. That's yeah. like whenever Adam Sandler makes a movie that takes place in Fiji or something.
Yeah.
Same kind of vibe.
This is the lowest budge version of that.
You're like, okay, our budget is 99% rentals of property, and we film it on iPhone 4s.
Yeah.
Well, not food-related, but the dressing for that must be, you guys must be insanely careful about what's going on in those homes when you're bringing stuff in.
Well, food-related, he likes dressing on the side.
Yeah, that's right, dressing on the side.
Yeah, we shot at this crazy house in Malibu that just, like, you didn't, it was weird.
Mask of the Ninja?
Yeah.
I don't get that.
But like everything had to be covered and nothing on the floor that didn't have sliders and like all that kind of stuff. But the homes are cool.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah. This is a food podcast.
This is a food podcast.
Sorry.
But no comment on the set food. The Crafty's great. Really, really, really
Crafty's
good.
Crafty's great.
When did
amazing.
People start calling craft services Crafty?
I don't know.
From the beginning? I've never heard it not called Crafty.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys are so bored on set.
Well, it used to be craft services because they legitimately used to service all the other crafts on the set. So like, and there's still weird Byloff stuff that's like these weird vestiges of the past where like they're the ones that have to clean up like piss and shit. And like if there's blood on the set, like they're technically supposed to clean that up.
Oh.
There's weird stuff like that. But they used to service all the other crafts on the set. And then eventually it just kind of became the onset food stuff.
Much like when you see like a TV show like Mind of a Chef or like a food TV show, and then the chef's like, it's not all glamour and glitz. Like, I'm still the one who has to unclog the toilet when somebody clogs the shitter. And same thing for the Crafty.
That's right.
For the Crafty.
God, I didn't know. That's crazy. What would you say, is there a memorable like best Crafty meal or catered meal or like snack?
There's a lot of, there's like Cooking with Lenny.
When the new Kind Bars came out, it shut that shit down.
Yeah, shut that shit down. There's definitely like, there's Bruce's and like Cooking with Lenny's a big one and like Mario's, I think. There's like some that,
but like the meals, like give a couple like top three meals, like specifically.
On Kroll had a lot. Kroll, the Cliff, our chef there, was awesome.
Cliff.
Shout out to Cliff. Cliff used to make a secret dessert every day, basically.
What?
Where, like, if you just stuck around for a little bit longer than you probably should, like, he would come out with these trays of just, like, just wild, just awesome. Because he was a pastry chef.
Oh, there you go.
And so...
So at nighttime is when Cliff comes alive.
Yeah, word. So, like, he used to make some cool shit. He'd make, like, fresh ice cream and, like, do these, like...
Whoa.
Oh, I made this Reese's... thing. And you're just like, fuck yeah. But like, he would make like rum cakes and like all kinds of stuff. It was awesome. He was really good. And he was a really good cook too. So like, he used to make really good pulled pork sandwiches. Like,
ooh.
So every time you'd see him out and he'd be making his pulled pork, he would just do like wild stuff with like this like sriracha vinaigrette with like fresh cilantro.
Did Cliff kill it at the rap party too?
Or
did
Cliff was
did he have that day off?
No, Cliff was a good dude. No, he didn't do the
I like they were
the
talking
party.
About him as if he died.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
I think he actually works for like Bruce's or something now. He works for like one of the better, highly sought after catering companies. But he's a really good chef. And he would always do like last meals or like Friday meals a lot. He would do like the split lobster with the steak and stuff like that.
Those are the famous ones.
He was probably, I think, honestly, some of my favorite onset meals were from Cliff. Like he would just do like cool experimental stuff that he just wanted to make that was always really good.
I mean, how awesome is that?
Yeah.
And it's just like not only good but interesting too.
Yeah, totally.
That's so great.
Yeah, he was great. He's really awesome. He's a very good cook.
Do you have a favorite or favorites of like, you know, surprise, like, hey, it's smoothie trucks here, or hey, In-N-Out truck?
Yeah,
or...
they did that. Yeah, we had the on the.
I like
last
when the cold the ravioli guy comes.
Yeah. Frozen ravioli with a ragu sauce. But we had the In-N-Out truck on the last day of shooting for the league. They did that. The cast did that on the league a lot, which was pretty nice. Like, it'd be so fucking hot, and then it'd be like the coffee truck would come, and they'd have like coffee smoothie things and smoothie trucks and stuff like that. They did
Frappicitos.
That a lot, which
was
cool.
Glorious.
Frappicitos. I remember on the, because we shot at Tony's saloon downtown, right next to Pisanista. And on the first day of like season four or something, Paul Scheer and his wife June Diane Rayfield like rented out Pizza Nista and a keg just to like for after we were done with the first day shooting go over. But it's also the first day shooting, so everybody was so fucking tired.
Yes.
And so like I not think the like best four people, not including him, went over there and just had like there was an entire keg and like 1,000 pizzas.
So everyone is exhausted and then they're like, all right, that's a wrap on everyone. We'll see you guys at 6 tomorrow and we're gonna have a pizza party and beer right now.
It was awesome, like a very awesome thought and gesture. And but I remember Ryan, because he used to live across the street from us, he brought home, like, he's like, hey, you guys want a pizza? Like, yeah. He's like, all right, how many? He came on with like four pizza.
Pizza Nista is very delicious. The move.
Pizza Nista is great. I love Pizza Nista.
Unless it's going to be a lunch treat move, it's got to be on the last day of shooting.
Yeah.
Or the last day of the week of shooting.
Yeah.
Because, like, then you can rally. No matter how tired you are, you're so excited to be done shooting.
Yeah.
You can usually rally to party a little bit or do something. But, like, first day of shooting, that's like a lunch surprise.
Yeah.
Or like a midday surprise. You're like, hey, I got the Cool House truck here for everybody for a quick little...
What's funny, too, is, like, I used to look forward to shooting at Tony's because a lot of times if it worked out, I'd get a pie or a slice or whatever on the way home.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they would rent out Pizza Nita. They would like pay them out to not open.
Oh.
And it was always kind of a toss-up. So it'd be such a bummer if we'd be like, oh, fuck yeah, we're shooting at Tony's. We'll get Pizza Nita for lunch, blah, blah, blah. And then we'd go and then it's like, oh, they bought them out today, so we can't eat delicious pizza.
No!
Yeah, that's how...
morale goes up, morale goes down.
Yeah.
My craft services wave has... I came from very humble beginnings of being in music video extra.
Yes. Yeah.
Where like you'll be in a field in the valley somewhere at like 1:58 on a Wednesday and then like a PA pulls up in his Honda Civic with 12 Domino's large pizzas.
Classic.
And then people just like storm to it like a prison camp and you're just like, I just want to go home and die, and I don't want to I don't want to jump up and down anymore in a crowd of a live concert. And then all the way to Zac Efron movie, craft services, where since I was not a talent, I was like, I got to hang out on like the directors and producers area.
Yep.
And it's so weird how the hierarchy is different. Like the extras are just like, you can eat this shitty pizza. And then, like, here's a hose where you can have your water. And then, like, when you're hanging out with the producers and the directors, like, somebody will, like, every 10 minutes, somebody whispers in your ear, like, do you want a fresh green tea, almond milk, matcha, Twizzler? And then I'm like, get the fuck out of here, Sharon. I'm busy.
Did you want me? I know we're shooting in San Fernando right now, but do you want me to drive to Bay Cities to get you the godmother that you really like? The sandwich with just light dressing?
Do you want me to get. No? I'll do a pour over. A Kenyan. I have an Ethiopia pour over right now. I could just do for you, Jensen. I'm so sorry.
Just to remind you, I know you know this, but we have a cow ready to shoot in the back for steaks for lunch. So just let us know when you want us to lock and load because that bull's going down.
That would always happen. And then when I was hanging out with Efron, it was even on a other level. So there's like the extras who drink from the hose and then like they get, you know, like Funyuns. And then there's like the regular people and then there's the A-list celebrity where everyone's eating their food and then Efron will be like, cool guys, this looks good. And then like a random person like comes with a sugarfish delivery.
Oh yeah.
And like a and like a water that you've never heard of, like an alkaline water that you can't buy in America.
No, it's not legal in it. It's not legal in LA.
And he's like, I'm just
Roy Choi just parachutes out of the sky, knives ready to cook food. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I have my macrobiotic app that I'm gonna use.
Or there'll be that stuff, or producers will think that like that star needs that, and they'll get that form without even asking. And they're like, "Yeah, I'm only on almonds today. My nutritionist has only got me on almonds." And you just see them like just like throwing lobsters in the trash, and like $400 food, $400 worth of M Cafe just goes into a dumpster. And someone's like, "Can I?" I'm like, no, sorry, that's Efron's. We gotta throw it away.
Union stuff, man.
Yeah, you know, rules. Sorry.
That's another cool thing is we'd shoot at pretty awesome restaurants that I either hadn't eaten yet or liked, and then like the prop guys would have food prepared by the people that worked there.
Yes. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it would happen a lot. And our buddy if you're good in with a prop guy, it was nice because he'd always be like, hey, you guys want to come up here? Because they'd always order. He would let us look at the menu sometimes, be like, hey, what do you guys want? Or like, he was like, yeah, well, we need it for the scene. And then like
that's
order
awesome.
It. And then we'd pop in and he'd be like, try this, try this, try this. But that's how we found, I'd never eaten at a Stocking Frame. Have you guys eaten there?
I know.
No. What's that?
It's awesome. It's a bar restaurant downtown called Stocking Frame. We shot there like 3 times and the menu looked really good. So then Ryan and Liz went there and they just ate. And then he just had his birthday dinner there. And everything was fantastic. It was so good. And they had, we were
American,
talking about steaks.
Contemporary kind of thing?
Yeah. And we're talking about steaks. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's, yeah. It's a kind of a mixture of a bunch of different stuff. But like they have like, I think they do like short rib tacos and they do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the Santa Maria steak, which is so fucking good.
Really? Yeah.
It was like everybody just ordered everything and everybody shared everything. But when I ordered Santa Maria steak, I'll take credit for it. When it hit the table, holy shit. Everyone was just like, oh my God, this thing is so fucking good. It was
it tri-tip?
I don't know what it was. And I think it was, it had to have been not flank.
Flatiron.
It had to have been Flatiron.
Skirt.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Because I've always, like, when I think of Santa Maria, I think of Santa Maria seasoning for tri-tip. But
yeah,
like,
it was either Flatiron. It might have been skirt. It might have been skirt. I think it was actually skirt now I think about it.
All this steak talk, boys.
Yeah.
I'm getting a hankering for a hanger.
Yeah, Stocking Frame was really good.
Need a couple martinis and a cream spin.
Oh, rest in peace, the Taylor's martini. They no longer serve there.
Mm. Yeah, let's go to Taylor's after this.
I'm in.
We got a couple Twitter questions.
Yeah, Twitter questions.
My friend Jerome, I was like, what should we talk about? And he just said fish sauce.
Okay, which we've done before, and unfortunately Stewie's not here.
Mm-hmm. What's a weird fish sauce application that you might that you do that
ice cream? Seriously,
go on.
Well, I mean, if you think of like, I mean, it's not for everybody. You have to like fish sauce. You have to like salty sweet. But you can definitely put like try with like a vanilla bean or something with a clean single flavor.
Have you done this?
I have.
Fish sauce and ice cream?
It's not what a daily...
Of, like, you add it
It's not a daily driver, just a topping.
Is this something that you invented, or have you seen this somewhere else?
No. Look, the things that I do with... Like,
don't be so normal about talking about fish sauce ice cream.
Well, it's not a daily driver, but anything that... Look, I am usually not a sweet person, as you guys know.
Yeah.
Don't really like desserts. Candy once
culinarily or otherwise.
Yeah. The chili mango Mexican lollipops, addicted to. But that, again, that's a salty
that's
sweet
a salty
thing.
Sweet for sure.
So, like a straight sweet thing, I'm usually not that interested in. And of course, great desserts, and I'll enjoy those. But my favorite is salty sweet. So, I'll put on, depending on what it is, like anything you can imagine that's salty in your fridge, like Worcestershire, fish sauce, anything like that, you can dab on. You know, depends, but like an ice cream will work well because one, it will mix really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of control how much you put on, how you're tasting it, how you're eating it. It'll mix in. It'll disappear. Also, salt ice cream, which is not the most uncommon thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's obviously, and there's even salted ice cream flavors that are really common. But
sure,
that would be one unusual use of fish sauce.
That
also
that's
anything,
a home run.
Anything that you're adding answer. Any soup stock. And that's not that weird, but fish sauce, for people that consider it to be really kind of pungent and strong, it disappears very quickly, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and so when you're adding it into sauces or you're adding it into a salsa verde, I mean, that's usually calling for an anchovy anyways. But anything that you're not going to be directly tasting it, fish sauce mixed in gets really mild, obviously is like a, you know, one of those key ingredients when you're building a big umami flavor. And it goes really well in stocks. And use it like you would instead of salting to a certain point.
Right.
Or half salt, half fish sauce to match that salt level. And it will bring kind of, you know, that...
The salt of the sea.
Yeah. What else would be
interesting
use for fish sauce?
You already hit a home run with fish sauce and ice cream. You can't top that.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, try one single dash and be like, do I like this? Do I not like this? And again, a vanilla bean or a clean single flavor, you're not going to use it with like a hibiscus currant raisin. You know, like you want something where it's like,
no fish sauce on the rocky road.
No.
Yeah, just a clean classic vanilla.
I remember you told me that Maggie hated fish sauce.
Yes.
And then, like, there was one time where I made something at your house, and she was so stoked on it. And then, like, I forgot what it was. It might have been a cocktail or something. And then she was like, oh, what's in it? And I was like,
there's this, and then fish sauce. And then she was like, no, because she was like right about to drink it because she hadn't tasted it yet. And then she just got, I just said it just to fuck with her. But like, she was like, oh, no, like her face just for like, I'm so excited to drink this thing to like, God damn it. And then you just laughed really hard and you're like, no, there's no fish sauce.
No, the funniest thing, I thought you were about to tell me, and now I remember that, but I thought you were going to tell me she tasted something with fish sauce
and
didn't know it because that has never happened.
Yeah.
And I used to, I mean, we've been together, together for a long time.
Yeah.
And I like after 10 different things of sneaking it in and all different kinds of variations from soups to salsa verdes that have like lots of herbs or lots of, you know, like there's nothing. She's a bomb sniffing fish sauce dog.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing she cannot detect if it has fish sauce.
Your girlfriend is a fish sauce dog.
It's crazy.
That's how most would describe her. Right?
I mean, and I've done to the point just so little, and she knows. And she's like, is there fish sauce on this?
Yeah.
And I stopped years ago because I was like, I can't do it.
She's like a German Shepherd in the Port of Miami.
So now I have to use it like a topping if I want fish sauce.
SEAL Team 6.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's crazy.
I say a little fish sauce in the michelada would be nice. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Agree. Yeah,
the Bloody Mary with a little fish.
Yeah.
Well, I think the La Guelaguetza mix has some in it.
Well, Worcestershire has some, like, anchovy in it.
Exactly. Anyway, Worcestershire, base for most everything. She can get away with Worcestershire and things. So it's more like the fish sauce that somehow she can taste.
Yeah.
But real quick, I forgot. This is
maybe because fish sauce smells like Armageddon.
Yes, that's true. It kind of does. Or that you're being on a smuggled.
It smells like if you left town for a week and you left Armageddon out on your coffee table.
Yeah.
I forgot in my notes. I wanted Bob to do his burnt pineapple cocktail.
Oh yeah, that is not mine. I got it out of Savoir.
But wherever it's from, it is one of the greatest and most labor intensive cocktails I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But I wanted you to do this recipe if you can.
And after that, I want you to do your Ace Ventura Pet Detective because it's so good.
It's like the best summer cocktail.
It's unbelievably
good. It is not for a crowd for sure. It's like if you're having like a dinner party of four, But it's you can Google it if I fuck up the recipe, but it's just Google like Savour Mezcal Mezcal pineapple cocktail and it'll pop up. Mm-hmm. But you take a pineapple and you slice it, cut it up into like half inch slices basically, right around there, and you grill them. You grill the pineapple slices. You can do it on the stove with just a grill pan. And then you take that, throw it in a pitcher. It's usually a whole jalapeno, but you can do less depending on the spice level that you want. Mm-hmm. Throw that in there.
Full jalapeno.
Yeah, full jalapeno.
A whole raw jalapeno.
Whole raw jalapeno. Handful of cilantro. I forgot what the ratios are, but I think it's like a half cup or something of agave. Mm. And then you muddle all that together, and then you fill the rest with just like mezcal and ice, and I forgot what else goes in it.
I can't remember.
I think the last time I made it was
Is there any citrus? So like a squeeze of lime or anything?
No, I think it's the pineapples.
Pineapple?
All. Yeah. Mm. And when you muddle it, all the juice comes out of pineapple and stuff.
Yeah, it's so unbelievably good.
And it's just smoky and spicy.
Well,
and sweet.
Char off the pineapple.
It's so good.
Do you serve it strained?
Or
do you have the chunkies in there?
You do the chunkies in there because since everything goes in so big, you don't really have to worry about it. You can strain it, but honestly, like getting in those little seeds and everything in there, and like the little varying of like the spice and everything like that,
and the char,
you pour it over ice.
See char on the pineapple in the drink, so it looks really cool. And then you've got the green from the cilantro. It's a beautiful looking cocktail, but also with those chunks in there, you're taking a sip, you're having a little bit of the pineapple, and that's how you're really tasting like that char, and that's like that smokiness. It's an awesome cocktail.
It's
and
really good.
The first time you made this for me was like 4 years ago, so this is before the mezcal craze.
Yeah,
throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think top like a little Topo Chico topper on would be a nice little refreshing.
Oh,
situation
that would
as
totally
well.
Work if you rimmed the top with if you rimmed the top too with like
a little sparkling,
little sparkling would work.
A little seltzer.
But if you do like the powder, like the
chili lime,
yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That would work really good on the rim.
Anyways, okay, good.
Sounds amazing.
I want to make sure our listeners heard that.
Do not blend it, because I told my buddy.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to think.
And he blended it, and you basically just make a salsa, and you don't want to drink salsa.
You make Baja Fresh pineapple
exactly.
salsa.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing. So it's you
Scorcho margarita,
so that you have like giant undrinkable chunks in there, so that you're not just drinking a pineapple salsa.
So
All right, my friend Nick Catch Dubs, he said to list some overrated eggs and some underrated eggs.
Dishes or just that's it?
Just straight up eggs.
Eggs. Straight All right. Eggs.
I say an egg that I don't like is a salmon roe.
Mm.
I'm not a fan of the salmon roe egg. Mm. They're
not at all.
Not at all.
I'm always bummed when it's on anything, sushi, dishes. And it's like,
yeah, like my sushi nightmare is the little just piece of rice wrapped with a little nori sheet and then just a pile of the salmon eggs on top.
Yeah. Oh.
But the small little ones, no problem. Caviar, no problem.
Uh-huh.
But like the big like quarter inch salmon roe cubes that you use for like fishing bait and stuff.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No.
I think duck eggs overrated.
Yeah, I was going to say
because they
eggs.
Don't taste any different than a chicken egg.
Yeah, chicken egg.
I just was reading an article about turkey eggs.
Mm. Oh, I've never thought of that.
And I've never had one. But the article was that basically turkey eggs were kind
of... Was it in Maxim?
It was. It was in... For out there, our men's fitness listeners. I think it was in like Tasting Table or something. But apparently a turkey egg was like a, you know, it was a fancy thing. Like you'd get, and you know, it would be served at a white tablecloth restaurant in like the 30s, 40s, and it was a really common thing.
Mm-hmm.
But turkeys produce eggs a lot less than regular chickens. I think I could be completely messing this up, but it's like every week or every couple of weeks they produce an egg as opposed to a chicken, which lays one every day.
Turkey egg, very rare.
Very big, but the article was saying that some people are trying to bring it back in food because the yolks are really rich and deeper in color.
Mm.
They're bigger. And duck eggs, you know, in an omelet, you know, I think are overrated. They taste very similar, but it's all about the fat and cholesterol content in the yolk, from what I understand, for different birds, especially like turkey or duck, is that people will say either baking or cooking with. The yolk itself, the white is just a, you know, tasteless protein, but the creaminess and the fat content of the yolk changes from bird to bird, and that's, I think, like, so they're saying like that kind of like it's a big creamy yolk for a turkey egg, which I've never had, so that's really good for me to talk about it.
I think the coolest eggs we used to get emu and ostrich eggs all the time.
Whoa.
From Kimberly, my brother's ex-girlfriend does like she does animal training for like film and television. And so the ranch
Scout.
Where she works, yeah, shout out to Scout. So the ranch where she works just has like a collection of random animals, but they have emu and ostriches there, and they would lay eggs, and she'd bring them over all the time.
I mean, the only reason I've seen an ostrich egg is like on Iron Chef when they get the ostrich egg, and they're like, "God damn it!" And then they have to pull out like the Makita power drill.
Yeah, that's exactly what you have to do. Yeah.
But then what do you do with an ostrich egg?
You just it's roughly like five large chicken eggs worth of eggs.
Wow.
So I feel like it's more than that.
It's a lot. It's pretty crazy how much.
Tortilla de España.
Yeah, so we just do them scrambled.
Or a torta de riso.
They're so really fluffy.
So you just
really
have a scrambled ostrich egg.
Yeah. I mean, she'd that always bring them over when it's like, because we'd do like big breakfasts on the weekends and stuff. So like people would come over. So that was great. You just throw in like two ostrich eggs and you have enough eggs for everybody.
Feeds the whole family.
Plus everybody's like, "What the fuck? What is that?" And you're just like, yeah,
I really
it's
like
kind
the
of cool and impressive.
I like the idea. They're like, yeah, what'd you do with those really exotic ostrich eggs? I just scrambled with ketchup.
just
a little ketchup, or you know,
they
whatever
were,
you got
they
there.
Were, like, so good because one, they were fresh. Like they're always so fresh. Oh. But then like just they were just so good. Like just scrambled.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet. I'm in.
I think just if I was eating them without seeing the whole process go down, I'd be okay. But just seeing like the giant.
Yeah,
the shell and just seeing it glop out of there, it looks like paint coming out of a paint
totally
can.
Does, yeah,
I think it would be a turnoff. Like the yolk is like 7 inches in diameter, it just kind of creeps me out. But I've never tried an ostrich egg.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be hard to do like an Uncle Buck situation where it's like the snow shovel trying to flip it, like fried, keep it intact.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's very Mythbusters.
Yes.
Yeah. Just to get like a fat ass 12 foot plancha, like a 12 foot nonstick. And just fry it's like the opposite of the quail egg
on yeah top of, yeah
that's another overrated egg quail eggs quail? Get
yeah.
out of here
yeah
with that
quail
shit.
Egg totally overrated
no necessito
I will say
it's
for
too
a,
small dude they're just tiny like what the, no
it's like when you get
them.
The really small oysters
yeah
yep.
what's the point I don't yeah. want no minute man
for an egg dish I will say the most overrated and. People could completely disagree, but I also have a very specific opinion about burgers. But the egg on a burger, I think, is mm-hmm. I am not a fan of. I love a runny yolk. If you could somehow yeah. just maybe glaze it with a yolk,
yeah.
All right, I'll talk to that. But like a huge fried egg on my burger does nothing but make me
no.
taste the meat less.
I agree. And I'll take like, the no egg way. On the BLT for sure.
Oh yeah,
which
absolutely.
Is perfect. But like
totally into that
on a burger. It's yeah. You're
there. Yeah, there was like. 2 months where the world tried to convince themselves that fried egg on a burger was awesome.
Yeah.
But then you take one bite and then it's just like I have to use a knife and fork to eat this burger now yeah. and it's just like a weird gloppy
mess. 100 napkins.
Yeah. No.
I'm
not,
gonna need all the napkins.
Scott Mosier was on the podcast. He is a part owner of a cider house in Ohio that he went to visit.
What are the rules?
There are no rules in Ohio, baby. So they got voted.
As hard as I did, isn't it?
So they opened a bar, a gastropub kind of thing, to serve their cider, and then they had to have food to have.
They better
the bar.
Not have a fucking fried egg burger.
Well, this is an amazing. this is an amazing story to me. They don't have fried. Thank God they don't have fried egg burger. But so they had to have food to open the bar. I'm like, let's make a burger. And like 2 months later, is voted the best burger in Ohio by
wow.
some State magazine.
That's the name of the magazine?
Yeah.
Some
voted
state
by
magazine.
Best Burger in Ohio.
Best Burger in Ohio says shittyzagat.com.
So, but he was telling me, and he said he went, he hadn't been since they started doing the burger, and he went and said it really is absolutely phenomenal, and he's a burger guy.
Yeah.
But what he was trying to get out of the guys, you know, like, what do they do? What's the secret? Because it's very meat centric. It's not a lot of fancy ingredients. It's yeah. like very much about the meat. And so they get the cows from a local farm. They're grass fed. And then I think for like the last 2 months, they're corn fed to add a little bit of layer of fat. But they wouldn't tell them the grind. But they basically said, like, it's pretty much a whole cow. It's the whole thing.
Oh. Wow.
And he said the flavor.
Like in terms of what cuts
texture,
of beef
yeah.
go into it. Todos los cow.
And I'm sure, like, you know, it's. The whole cow is they're paraphrasing, but right. like it started making me think about this. It's really interesting because usually what our grind that we've done together, it's usually what
when we hold hands and grind yeah. beef together.
It's a third brisket, it's a third short rib, or it's 25%. Yeah, third short rib, third brisket, and 40% chuck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so. If they really
classic hipster burger ratio,
yes. But I'm speculating if they're using the whole animal. Say they're using, you know, organ meats,
lengua,
but they're doing
some of that dank ass cabeza. Mm-hmm.
But think about it: if you're putting into context the whole cow being ground,
yeah,
all of the meat along with the organ flavor is strong, and it's mm-hmm. not for everybody, but it does also have some of that kind of umami, that X factor, mm-hmm. that like that strong, intense flavor,
yeah. Yeah.
but diluted through
yeah,
an entire meat.
Through everything.
Yeah, so it mellowing out through an entire cow, that would be, I would be so interested to try, I can't wait someday to try that burger.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that is
to
interesting.
Get a grind of like an mm-hmm. entire cow, you know, obviously taking out the fat,
just imagine
at a
them,
certain point.
They're just like Jurassic Park style.
Yeah, exactly. Just hoof and all, baby. But
we make an aioli out of the hair.
Yeah, that could be really cool.
Yeah, we need to like talk to a butcher shop and be like,
well, we need to buy a whole cow. So,
well, that's the problem. Yeah. That's, like the only way to do this is to buy a whole cow.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that would be so much work.
But it got yeah. me thinking you could do that on scale. So if we got you know, next time we do grind our own beef mm-hmm. for burgers, we could do like a little slice of liver, a little slice. I don't know where we get heart, but like if you cook small slices,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. So you get the chuck, you get the short rib, you get all the cuts, you get the tenderloin, you get the flank and the blah blah blah.
Yeah, it would be an effort. It might be a birthday event.
You get the cabeza, and you get the tongue, you get the liver, you get the heart, you get the cows have gizzards, right? You get some of that in there.
Yeah.
Some of the beak.
But it would be, I think it would be really interesting. I could
I mean, you grind up the chicken's beak and sprinkle it on top. But for sure.
Bust out the microplane.
Texture.
Presentation is 5 points, guys. That's a great idea.
But.
That's a real kitchen sink burger.
And you know what? I don't think he's even told me the name of the cider house. But I'm sure if you Google best burger in Ohio, it'll come up.
Well, we should do this, like, the best version that you can do at, like, Whole Foods or something.
Right.
Just be like, let me get an eighth of a pound of every cut of beef you have.
Right.
And he's going to be like, fuck you, I hate you. Yeah. And then I'm going to be like, I'm going to make a burger out of everything. And he's like,
security.
Still hate you. But I get, and just, like, put it all. Yeah, they don't have to individually wrap each thing. Just put it all in one butcher paper. And then just dump that straight into the grinder. This is a good idea.
I don't know.
This sounds like a very fun experiment.
I'm in.
Let's do it.
Blood pack.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Oh, yeah, and blood. You have to put blood in.
Yeah.
We got no more questions? Sure. Just two?
There are other questions, but they're not good. Well, somebody said...
How about we do the worst question?
I mean, they're like funny questions. They're not like that serious. Yeah. Somebody named Two Little Cakes said, "Taro chips, the next frontier? Yes or no?"
No, absolutely not. Having eaten much taro in my life, having parents live in Hawaii, taro is not cool.
If taro chips haven't made it by now, I don't think they're ever going to make it.
There's that one guy trying though. Really
I didn't know that you're a taro hater.
Taro is very little use for anything good. I mean, like, even the best taro fries might come up to, like, the medium okay fry, regular, like, Kennebec fries I've had. I mean, it's...
A taro 10 is a russet 5, is what we're saying.
I mean, they turn it into poi, which is a tasteless, horrible textured pudding mush that is a staple of traditional
Tell us what
Hawaii
you really
cuisine.
Think about taro while we're at it, bud.
Taro's not
tight. Damn,
I respect its nutritional value, but on a...
Is it good for you?
On a flavor level. I don't know, but it's kind of like, as I understand it, for Native Hawaiian culture, it's like rice in the sense that it's a really dense carbohydrate that's cheap and easy to grow in that climate that they just used for energy.
Yeah. It sustains you for a day's work on the field.
Mm. Bingo.
It's the slim fast of
it is.
Hawaiian food.
It's
culture.
the Soylent Green of the non-tech world.
Yeah.
It's the Soylent of the non-tech world.
You heard it here first. TheStewPodcast.com is the website where you could learn about all of this cool stuff. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter and all that at ThemJeans. Andre Conoparo has no social media because of personal reasons.
I got warrants.
Bob, what's your Instagram?
Cosmic_B.
Cosmic_B.
Hit it up. He's a great photographer.
That's not true.
That's totally true.
If you like all these episodes and this one, make sure to tell a friend who might like a food pod. Give us a good rating and review on iTunes. Subscribe. Tell your mom to listen to us because all of our moms listen to it. Number one mom podcast on iTunes 2015. See you guys next week.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.